word of the Lord from Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Can you remember a time when you were not happy at all, but you pretended to be? Maybe it was during one of the holidays, you had a family over and you were just frustrated, things were out of control. It was just crazy. And yet you were hosting or something. You had to be happy. You had to have a smile on your face. You had to be polite. You had to be cheerful. Or maybe you've worked in retail or in customer service and the customer's always right and you have to smile and you have to paste a smile on your face and you have to be kind and generous in your words and in your facial expressions. But deep down you're just so annoyed and frustrated. I work at the cafe and just so many rude people that are in a rush. And when other people are impatient, that really irks me. And that's when I get impatient. Trying to drive in Boston, it's bad. But at the cafe, I have to be happy. I have to deliver that experience for people. Well, that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about joy. A real joy. The real question that we should ask is, can you think of a time in your life where you have had no reason at all to be happy? Things have just gone crazy. You've been frustrated. You have no money. You have no time. And things are just out of control. Yet you have this deep gladness about you. Something inside that you can't explain. Maybe it's when you're working in customer support and somebody's just berating you or yelling at you or being really impatient, but you just have this peace and joy and gladness about you. Can you remember a time where you felt that way? During Advent, we're thinking about these marks of a Christian, you could say, or these virtues, hope and love and peace and joy. And we think about joy this morning. And it might not always be our experience during those frustrating times, whether we're hosting a party or trying to get the family together or whether we're working at a cafe or whatever the experience is. There are many times where that's not our experience, yet it can be. It should be. It should be a mark of our lives. Joy given to us by knowing God. Not mere happiness, but joy, a deep gladness that comes from knowing God. I mentioned it this morning, but it's this time of year where we read these stories about Jesus' birth. Really familiar passages. Yet, as Christians and as people going to church, we ought to read them for the first time. We ought to read them with fresh eyes. And when I read this text with fresh eyes, I see, oh yeah, the angel says, don't be terrified. I'm bringing you good news, gospel. Good news that will cause great joy. Another question might be, when was the last time you heard a news report that brought you great joy? Anymore today, news just brings us down and weighs on our shoulders. We read about bomb threats. We read about fires. We read about storms. We read about crazy decisions made by our leadership. And it just brings us down. And it doesn't cause us joy. Imagine what it would be like to be a shepherd and have the glory of the Lord shine on you. The glory of the Lord shining around them. The terror and the fear that they might have experienced. We think of Isaiah's interaction with God, and he thought he was done for. Human beings, we can't come in front of the glory of the Lord. They were terrified. They were probably frozen still. And the angel says, "Peace, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you news that will bring you joy." And what's the news? Jesus is born. And what's the sign? You'll see a baby in a manger. Completely different sign than anyone was expecting those days. So the question is, are you happy? And what does it mean to be joyful? And where does that come from? The joy of the Lord is your strength, and it is my strength. It can be our strength. This is a familiar verse when you look at Christian home decor and stuff. But what's peculiar about this phrase, "the joy of the Lord is my strength," or "the joy of the Lord is your strength," is it's only found one place in the Bible, and it's not where you would expect it to be. We see it maybe on a poster or on a wood thing at our house. It's like, oh yeah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But it comes from the book of Nehemiah. It's actually a really odd passage. This is the time after exile. The people of God, the Israelites, have been exiled to Babylon, where they have gone through some suffering and all their belongings were taken. And they were just feeling exiled. But over the years, after about 70 years, the king of Persia said, "Okay, you guys can come back. God be with you." And they are let back into their country. But, with exile goes changing of generations and a loss of their culture, a loss of their identity. And just imagine what that would be like, being displaced. We think of the Syrians today as an example. Just like, what would they be going through? What could it be like to be displaced from your home country and from your culture and from your people? Some of your rules and some of your writings might be taken away, some of the important things. In this case, the holy law, the law of God's people that they used, their way of knowing God, it was taken away. And so what happens in the book of Nehemiah is we see that God's people have come back to Jerusalem and they're starting to be settled again. And Ezra, who he finds the law of God. And it's like an act of covenant renewal, and he's recovering the law of God for these people who have been displaced for so many years. And so it says in Nehemiah 8 that Ezra reads the law of God to the people. And what happens? They start weeping and mourning. When sinful human beings are presented in front of the law of God, when they are read the law of God, they see how far they have fallen. They see how far they are from the holy law of God and from God's perfect being. And it brings them to weeping and mourning. It says in Nehemiah that the people were weeping and were very downcast. But then Ezra says, "Don't fret, don't be troubled. The joy of the Lord is your strength." That's where this phrase comes from. In the light of the seeming condemnation, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And even that's a note worth making. Today, we have to do a lot of discernment between what might be condemnation, which is only from the pit of hell, and holy conviction from the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, after we confess our sins, Paul writes to the Romans, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, there's no condemnation. Even though we still slip up, we have forgiveness and love from God. If you feel conviction over sin, that's a gift from God. He reproves those he loves. He disciplines like a father with a son. And one of the jobs that the Holy Spirit does is he convicts us of sin and moves us towards perfection, towards our Lord, towards holiness and righteousness. And a great deal of our lives is listening and responding to the Holy Spirit, confessing our sin. There's a great deal of difference between the conviction from the Holy Spirit and condemnation. We have to be listening to that. But wherever you're at, whether you're feeling condemned or feeling convicted, don't fret. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So how does this joy really affect our lives? We read other places in the Old Testament. The psalmists continually rejoice in the Lord, and there's just many circumstances that they're going through. You've put more joy in my heart than the nations have when their joy, when their wine and grain abound. Oftentimes I look at my worldly friends who are just out to make money, and they just seem so happy, so content. What am I missing? But no, even when their wine and their grain abound, the Lord has put more joy in our hearts. King Solomon, in his wisdom, writes, a joyful heart is good medicine. It's something that affects our lives. It's something that it's contagious. How can we have this joy? I think of one of the prophets, Habakkuk. He's, we set back a little bit. He's in the time of exile, and he's been given a message that this army is coming to bring judgment, and they're going to be trampled and taken away. And Habakkuk sees it coming, and he's anticipating the Assyrians coming, and he says, he was frightened too, and in his little song, if you will, his little 3-chapter poem, he writes, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor there be any fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, yet the fields have no food, even if the flock was to be cut off from the fold, no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. That's the very last lines of Habakkuk's prophetic song. And before that, he's just kind of going back and forth in his head over the fear of the image of enemies coming upon them. Yet at the end, he endures, and he looks to the Lord as his strength. God is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Another prophet, Zephaniah, gives this beautiful image of the Lord dancing and singing in joy over his people. The joy of the Lord is, it could be the joy that we have from God, but it also could be God's joy himself, God's joy over us. We read this message from the angel. He says, this good news will cause great joy. And we see Jesus arrive on the scene. And later, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gives them these amazing words. In John 15, Jesus says, if you abide in me, if you stay with me, and my words stay with you, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, and so show to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Stay with me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I stay in his love. All these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The joy of the Lord is the joy that Jesus had. It's the joy that he gives to us. It's joy from God, but it's also God's own joy over us. Luke's gospel, Luke is the guy who wrote all the parables. That's where he records all of Jesus' parables, where he shared in metaphor. And Luke 15, Jesus shares three amazing images of joy. A poor widow who lost one of her coins, who lost her income, and goes to a great deal of work to find it, sweeping and, you know, moving all the furniture, and she finds her coin, and she dances and leaps and is filled with joy for finding her coin. And then next, a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of them goes missing. And wouldn't he leave the 99 and go after the one? And when he finds the one, he will bring it back with great joy and celebrate. And then the father who has 2 children, one who goes away and spends his inheritance, who abandons his family. And yet the father, when he sees his prodigal son returning on the horizon, kills the fattened calf and brings the family together and puts rings on his fingers and cloak on him and just celebrates. The joy that God has when we come to him and when we repent, when we are brought back into his fold, when through Jesus Christ we are forgiven and are brought into his family. This is the joy that Jesus has over us. And it is our strength. We think of God's joy for his people, his covenant faithfulness to his people. That's what the prophets rely on and look to. That's what the psalmists sing about and think about. We think about the joy that Jesus had over his people, over his disciples, the joy that he promises them, that it will be full, that he promises us. And we also even remember Holy Spirit and how he abides with us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All these things are the things that the Spirit produces in our lives. Joy. It's one of the marks of being filled with the Spirit. What a joy it is to be filled and enabled by Holy Spirit. So much so that the Apostle James writes in the beginning of his letter, he says, when you meet trials of various kinds, what does he say? Count it all joy. When you meet trials of various kinds, you know that the testing of your faith leads to steadfastness, stableness, endurance. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We think about the hope that we have in God. We think about the peace, the shalom, the wholeness that we have. It starts with joy, rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in the God of our salvation. And as I mentioned earlier, Jesus, as the author of Hebrews puts it, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. That endurance that we have in, with joy. The trials. We endure through trials, counting with all joy. And what do? Looking to Jesus, the founder, the author, the completer, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, mocking the shame of it all. And he now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross in joy, with joy. And we look to him, our Savior, our joy giver, as we live in between the times, as we remember his birth and his coming, and as we wait for his second coming during this time of Advent. So can you remember a time where you just weren't happy at all and your circumstances gave you no reason to be happy? Can you anticipate a time coming up where you will have no reason to be happy at all? Yet the gladness, the deep gladness that you can have in knowing God. May we continually live in light of our coming of our Lord Jesus, who is our hope and our peace, who is our love, and who is our joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen.